Welcome to Gifts Spirit Ministry Fellowship. It's been good to be back. And it's sure nice to have somebody come in and take over when I can't make it here. Hopefully I can make it more often. I know we also want other people to stretch their wings and learn how to, to get experience by teaching and understanding what's going on. It just always helps out. It's always like when you go to a job and they said, well, you don't have any experience. Well, yeah, how are you going to get experience until you give somebody, gives them a chance to get experience? You just got to find out if they have the ability to do that, and that's the main thing. If you got a word from the Lord, just let me know, and we'll take and we'll put it back in there. We've got some lining up, so we're just going to give God the glory and go from there. I know it's the weather's been nicer. I wasn't out on the 70 or 60 degree weather the other day, but that was really a nice been a nice day to have been out. I was out the next day, which was nice. Brian came over and took us out, Brendan and I, and we went and grabbed something to eat, and then we went up to the Big Creek and drove around and seen a little bit. It was really nice to get out and had a great time. So that was a blessing. So thank you, Brian. Thank you, Pat. He's not here for teaching last week, and we praise God for that. But it could be we're going to have a little more snow yet before it's all over. I hope not too much. No snow? Okay, no snow this today. I know they said something up maybe later today. We'll just have to see what's going on there. So praise the Lord. At least we're not like out eastern part where they got masses of snow. Ice and all kinds of stuff. So we lucked out. That was a blessing. So anyway, I was going to teach last week. And I started getting things ready, and then I found out it wasn't going to work too good because of the snow and trying to get out and that type of stuff. So I just saved it for today. Two Sundays ago, I played a video about an 80-year-old lady who died for 19 minutes with a heart attack. That week, because even when I played it, I said, you need to look at it not from the physical, from the spiritual. So you can always see things from the physical, but you might be missing what God's doing from the spiritual. When I was watching that video, it was amazing what I seen when she was talking about all this stuff. So I'm not going through the whole thing because it's been a while since we watched it. You can always go back and look at it. But the reality was, on Thursday morning as I was picking up or getting up, the Lord was there in my presence. As I was in his presence, he was right there in the front room of our house. And I mean, he was just on top of me, speaking and understanding and know what was going on. And he brought back to two sections of that video. And the first section was when she was talking about that she'd, had a good life. She'd been in Sunday school and went through Bible study, and she'd done all these good and magnificent things and been in church most of her life. But her husband had died. And he took and went to heaven, of course. But she'd come home after church, and she would go sit in his chair. And one day she just said, is this all I've got to look forward to, is to go to church and then come home and sit in his chair and wait until finally we get to heaven to see him? And she said that God answered her in a strange way. It caught me. Strange way. See, if you're looking at the situation from the physical, you wouldn't have caught that. But it really caught me when he said he answered her question in a strange way. He might be answering some of your questions in a strange way. And if you're not in tune with God, you might miss it. He might be telling you things. He might be talking to you. And you're not listening. You're not hearing what God is saying. There's a lot of things going on. God's trying to get everybody's attention, trying to work with them and help them. And many times people refuse to hear what God's doing or saying or doesn't want to do it once they hear about it. That's between you and God. But in this case, there's nothing she could do about it because God did it in a strange way. He got her attention real fast by giving her a heart attack. She had a heart attack and died. 19 minutes, she was dead. And when she came through, all of a sudden she realized she wasn't at home. She didn't know where she was. She was just replacing. And Jesus was standing there. And she says, where am I? And he says, between heaven and earth. He says, because you're not going to heaven, because you got to go back to earth, because I want you to go back and give a message. Have you ever had somebody that's been around that's been to heaven, and they had to go back and give a message? Howard Pittman was one. We've had him here before. And he did put a message out. He has passed away since then. He's at home again. Dr. Eby died. And there was three ladies that were his wife's friends and said, we've seen you as a healing God. We've seen you as a salvation God. But we never seen you as a resurrection God. Send him back. And he's looking to Jesus. He says, I don't want to go back. And Jesus, you have to go back because they're asking and I got to answer their prayer. So for some reason, he sent him back because he had an explanation of what was going on in heaven. There's a reason. There might be something that God's trying to get your attention because he might have something for you to tell somebody that needs to hear it. So just keep listening. See, that's what I'm saying. Here's a video that you probably never caught that, and maybe if you did, that's good. God had so much undertow in that video that we miss so much in our lives because we're not looking at the spiritual. We're looking at the physical. Now, I've been trying to get this thing together, and I have had a hard time and almost glad that I didn't come last week because it was impossible to get this thing put together. And then I sat here three times. I sat and I fell asleep, had a problem, and was interfered with, and it wasn't until about 6-7 o'clock last night I finally got the last part of this together. Because it wasn't easy. The devil doesn't want people to know and understand the truth. Because the truth will set you free. And when you get set free, you're free indeed. And you can go things and do things and be amazed what's happening. So I took and I went from there, and that was the first time. And the second time was when he was standing after the heart attack. That's a strange way of getting your prayer answered by having a heart attack. But see, I was walking from my house, or from my garage to the house one day, and all of a sudden I had a stroke. My feet got tired. I think, man, I'm really tired. I need to go sit down. Next thing I know, I'm on the ground. Dragged myself about 5 foot to the back door. My wife says, what's wrong with you? I said, I got tired and fell down. She says, there's more to that. They got me in my car. You know, Eric came over, and Eric and Sarah and my neighbors, and they took me in. I had a stroke. While I was in the hospital, I says, Lord, why did I have a stroke? He says, because of your prayer. I said, my prayer? He says, yeah. I said, which one was that? He says, you're not going to die. He says, the one that you always said, I'm not going to die until I get everything done that I need to get done on this earth. For you. Very strong. Believed it without a doubt. And I'm thinking, wow, that one should not have caused me to have a stroke. That did not make sense. Did not compute. But the problem was this building wasn't getting paid for. It was financially struggling. Had a real hard time at one period of we were growing through. And I kept thinking, we're going to have to sell this building. There's no way we can afford to keep this building. It's just too much. And I said, the only thing I can do, we've got equity in it, but I'm trying to figure out how to sell it because we were buying it from another on contract from another owner. So how can I sell something if I don't own it? How can I sell it and pay them off? How can I figure? I was doing this all my mind. It was going about a month or two. And all of a sudden, I had a heart attack. I mean, a stroke. And I'm thinking, what is this? And one day in the shower, I said, Father, I don't understand it. He says, because of your prayer. And I says, why? He says, your calling, what you're supposed to be doing is to get this thing up and running and make it run good. That's what you're supposed to do. And if you're going to give up this building, it's not about the building. It's just part of the ministry. God gave this thing. He saved, reserved this for us. He made it happen. He's our provider. He can provide for it. But I got in my flesh and out of the spirit. And all of a sudden, boom. He said, because of that, he said, I got to get your attention. He didn't hurt me bad. I mean, when I got there, the only thing really results is this little finger is a little bit numb. You know, I've seen guys that had strokes. Their whole side was gone. They're crumpled up like this. They're hardly talking. Some can't even, you know, eat. I'm thinking, wow. And they said, you didn't have a stroke. You couldn't have had a stroke. Because they took me through speech therapy. They said, there's nothing wrong with you. I did it three times. And they said, you're done. You're good. You couldn't have, you know, they just didn't think I had a stroke. And I'm thinking, wow. So they called it a mini stroke. Well, then I took and went to a neurologist that had seen my x-rays of my brain, and she says there's a big hole, dark hole in my brain where that blood clot went up and got it. She says, you had a massive stroke. But then when I start talking to her and she starts, you know, ask me questions, this and what I'm doing, is there any problem? She says, you can't be. There's no way you could be that way. I says, yeah, I am. She says, no, it don't work. I said, God kept me from being destroyed. He has something for me to do. He just got my attention. The world says you're in trouble, but God says, no, I'm protecting you. So there might be things in your life you might think you're going through that are bad. Problem is, he's just trying to maybe get your attention because you're not listening. That's like she's saying. She's sitting there. She's asking God, is this all I got? Instead of really asking the Lord, what can I do? She says, is this all I got? God did it in a strange way. So sometimes God answers your questions in ways you don't want it to be answered. So you need to be very careful. Like I said, every time we do something, there's a spiritual undertow, and if you're not watching and walking in the Spirit, you're not going to make it. You're going to miss it. So praise the Lord. So then I took, and I went on down there, and as she was talking to the Lord, she also seen how her face was not wrinkles, and her hands were like 30 years old, and her hair was more full and not so thin, and she was just feeling more vibrant and everything. When you're in the Spirit, that's what happens. You're different than you are on this body, on this land, you know, on this earth. One of these days we'll have a spiritual body, and we'll be fantastic. Be like we're 30 years old with a beautiful body, and it'll be a spiritual body, but we'll be blessed and go from there. But that was a part of the understanding. We're just doing what we're doing here. We're looking for a new, better way when we get to heaven. But she started talking to Jesus, and he showed her all about, you know, he took her up and showed her heaven all over the earth, and she was seeing her. I mean, it looks like there's a lot of lights around. But then he said, look closer. He said, well, there's not only lights, but there's darkness. There's gray. And there's gray forces and light forces. And they said, look at the United States. He said, it was much brighter than all the other countries. And then all of a sudden, look closer. And then all of a sudden, she's seen the same thing. And sometimes the gray's taking over the light, which is definitely the evil. Today, the evil has gotten so dark that the enemy is so bad that I honestly believe, it's been in my spirit for some time, there's no way that the Christians can actually change what's going on because it's so in depth that God is going to intervene, come down and remove many people from what's happening. We just had that talk with Eric the other day about how many actors have been dying. There's a lot of people that are going to die according to the prophets. A lot of it being judged. A lot of situations are happening. So it's one of those situations that you just have to understand what's happening. But he was talking about Trump and how people were against Trump, and that must have been just before the election because he wasn't elected yet. How people were against him and so on and so forth. But he says it's not about the man, it's about me. But the man will put in situations that allow God to move and do things that need to be done. So trust the Lord, pray for the ones in charge, Trump and all the people around him, that they'll not coming against him, but we've heard that many people are actually right beside him that aren't really for him. So pray that the Lord will show him and he will intervene and take things and change situations around. So what needs to be done will be done. Praise the Lord. But it gave her a purpose. when she came back, she knew that she couldn't just be sitting, because one other major thing that happened when she was with Jesus, for the first time in her life, she had said, I have known of you, but I never knew you. The average body person, the body of Christ, knows of God, but they've never known God. I can state that the same thing. I grew up in a Dutch Reformed church. 16, I went up before the concession, consistory, and gave my life to Christ and dedicated it. And I was doing good things. My dad was on the an elder deacon. He'd done everything through the church. My cousins and my uncle was there, and they were all involved in the church, and everything was going on. We were all churched out. Great, doing good things and learning and all kinds of stuff. But I didn't know God. I knew of God. Until I lost my first marriage. I lost my first son. 8 months into it, the water popped, and we took her to the hospital, and they said he's got a physical defect, which was a waterhead baby. And I know about waterhead babies because there was a young man that was in church that was a waterhead baby, and his head's real big. Even though he's older, he's still big, but he just wasn't all there. And the doctor says, we always just let them die because they're not worth keeping. They're just too hard on the family. And I says, no, he's my son. You do everything you have to. Well, an hour and a half after he was born, he died. I was so distraught, I didn't even look at it. I didn't go see him. My wife was in the, in another room, wasn't in the prenatal, and they kept telling me, don't tell her, don't tell her. Don't let her know what's going on because she's too. You'll be too depressed. She had a cesarean section, so she was healing up from that. And they kept her pretty well drugged. All the pastors attached, the pastor, the doctor, and my both parents were saying, "Don't tell her, don't tell her." So I was trying to be as kind and nice and polite and keep her built up, but they buried him a day and a half after he was born, and all they was a casket that had a picture of. That when she got up around, they got her off the drugs, they gave her a picture of this casket. Destroyed her. She had a nervous breakdown. Things went crazy. It was tough. But I was walking through town one day, and all of a sudden, something happened to me. I had a relationship with God that I never had before. And everything just turned beautiful. The trees were beautiful. The flowers were more beautiful. I mean, everything, it was just alive and vibrant. So I call it born again. I'd given my life to Christ, knew of God, but I finally got to know God at that point. Many people never have had that. If you haven't, seek God for that relationship, to know who he really is. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to know exactly what's going on. And that was so important that most people are just walking around knowing of but not knowing, because if you don't know him, you can't have that relationship. You're short. You're missing out. So that was another thing that the Lord started to deal with me. And I went back and kind of went through those hurts and pains, even though I've been set free from all that and taken care of. And I mean, it was just, but that's why I ended up in a divorce from my first marriage, was because of that. She thought that because I was trying to keep her happy and trying to be kind and polite and upbeat when I was around her, just so that, because she was, I didn't want to be down, I didn't tell her. She thought I didn't want the child, and she just went through a divorce. And see, I found out that 80% of people who have had a child lost goes through a divorce. They don't stay because there's blame game. If you done this, if you did that, if we didn't do this, whatever else, and before long it just destroys them. The devil's got his hand in that one big time. So it gave me a little peace knowing that that wasn't just my problem, but it didn't make me happy, because we'd like to get that set free so people don't go through it. They can make it through that process. So anyway, on that Thursday morning of the week that I showed the video, it's real strong in the morning, and the Holy Spirit was there. And he just started talking to me. And I've always said that I was tired of the Christians not getting victory. And one time I said, well, what does victory really mean, even though I've been saying that? Because a lot of times we say things, but we don't understand what we're talking about, have a general understanding. Victory means, and this is according to Webster Dictionary, the advantage or superior gain over spiritual enemies, over passions and appetites, over temptation, or in any struggle or competition. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over all those things. Now, many people are walking through and they're not having victory. I didn't have victory when I was going through that. I didn't have victory. I didn't know about praying over my child, making sure that there was fine, there wasn't anything wrong. That, you know, I tell you, I prayed over the next child, and he came out fine. He's still living in Oskaloosa. But the whole fact is, I didn't know about it because I didn't understand it. But I said, I'm tired of people having victory, not getting victory. And I say that because what happened was God set up this ministry because through the five ministry gifts we are to, in Ephesians 4:12. I don't know if that's actually the same writing. It should be. Their response is to equip God's people to do his work, build up the church and the body of Christ. Now, if you go to the next scripture there, it must be 13. That is 13? Okay. They will continually until all come into such unity of our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the fullness and the complete standard of God. Now, how many people are here walking in, you know, maturity in the Lord and measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ? I'm not yet. I'm still working on it. I'm a work in progress. But that's what we're set up for. That's what we're supposed to be doing here. If we're not doing it, then we're missing it. That's my whole concern. Because people come in here and don't get changed around and don't see the truth. And we're, everybody's sovereign. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to change. You can do what you want. But you have to deal with God when you get to heaven. Might as well change now and get your life changed around and enjoy it while you're here, because he wants to bless you and change you around. And I was going through that, and he says, I want you to put this out. They will continue until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of Christ's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measured up to the full and complete standard of Christ. How does that happen? God set up the government, the kingdom of God, and he put in apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That's what it's about. That's what we're set up for. And he says, oh, God had me set up GSMF to help children to understand who they are in Christ. There was a question that I had many years ago. Many years ago, I had a question. And that is, what does finished mean? Jesus said, it is finished. And I for a long time, I'd understood what I'd been told, trained. Our sins are forgiven. Now we have eternal life. That's all I knew. Our sins have been forgiven. We got eternal life. That's what was finished. That's what Jesus did on the cross. And I got to seeing more and more, and I'm thinking, that's not all of it. That's only what the religion part of it does. That's only what people get deceived by. There's so much more. And that's what we're here to do, is to change people's understanding and help them realize what's going on. Because as I was thinking about that, I'm thinking, wow, there is so much more that Jesus did on the cross. And all of a sudden, the Lord went and he said this. Jesus broke the sin that changed God's will for you being a heavenly being. Now, this is a spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding. Jesus broke the sin that changed God's will for you being a heavenly being. I want to tell you, God designed you. God designed Adam. And when he formed him from the earth, he gave him an earthly body. He breathed his the spirit into Adam, which was his soul. Everybody has a section of God in us, which is our soul. It comes directly from God. It's our personality. It's our desire. It's a little small section of God that he put in us. Body, I mean, it's a mind, will, and emotion. It runs the whole thing. It gives us, makes us a living soul, a living being. Without that, without the Holy Spirit, you cannot be a living being. That's your part that makes you live, makes your body live. They always said, I don't know if it's true, I think it's probably because of the liquids in your body, but they said when a person dies, they lose 2 pounds. I don't think a spirit weighs that much. But they lose all their body functions and everything else. But it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You're in the spiritual realm. You either go back down to Hades or you go into the heavens, into paradise, whichever you're going to go to. That's where it's at. And what happened was he was saying that he was talking about Adam's sin caused Adam to go from a heavenly being to a earthly being. If you understand this and get a revelation of this, it's going to change your life. You'll be able to work with people. Because this is some in-depth stuff that I didn't quite understand as I was going along until the Lord starts teaching me. I had a teacher, which is, he's passed away already, but I had it from YouTube, and that was Kenneth Hagin. And I heard about redemption. I didn't understand about redemption. But when Jesus died, he went back to where Adam sinned. Jesus is the last Adam. He went back to where Adam sinned, and he removed all that. He put us prior to the sin. And that's what happened. But the full factor was Adam was a heavenly being. How was he a heavenly being? Because the Spirit of God was put inside him. Not only was his soul, but the presence of God. The presence of God is life. The presence of God is the government, the kingdom government. I didn't realize that for many years. That Eden was a kingdom. Adam was a son of a king, so he became a king because he was given land. Anytime a king's son, a prince, gets land, it becomes the king. Then I also took, and Miles Monroe was talking about, there's very few real kings at that time when he was talking about it, even today, true kings. But he said there was a, he says if a son of a king, a prince, is given a land, he becomes a king. But if the king comes back into the land, he becomes a prince again. Because he's still, you know, the son of the king. He's a king as long as the king's not there. But anyway, so what happened was he became a heavenly being. Because where does a God come from? Heaven. So he wanted Adam to rule this earth as a heavenly being with this, by the Spirit of God in him. And you might say, well, this is too much, too simple, whatever you might say. But the fact is, God wants people to know. Today, most people, and because Jesus came back, died on the cross, and he said, because of cursed is he who is on the cross. He destroyed the curse that was placed upon Adam. All those three curses that they put down. That was why they had, because he became an earthly being. You might say, how does that work? Genesis 11. It said that God said, let us go down and see what the Son of Man is doing. Didn't say the Son of God. Didn't say our children. He said the Son of Man is doing. Why? Because he rejected the Father by sinning. And the Holy Spirit left him and went back to heaven. He became an earthly being. He's a spirit in an earthly being without the power of God. That's why the Old Testament is all that way. That's why we had to go by the law. It was without love. The only way they could have love is with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is love. Whoosh, there's a revelation knowledge there. Today people are walking as earthly beings. They've never got into a heavenly being, even though God gave us the heavenly being part back. When Jesus went to heaven, after he was here for a while, talked with the disciples and finally went up there, and God did what? He sent back the Holy Spirit. He sent back the kingdom of God. He sent back the very thing that he put in Adam to make him a heavenly being. It's a different way of looking at it, because that's what the Lord said. That's what I want people to know. I want you to be a heavenly being, not an earthly being. Because most people walk around as an earthly being today and not a heavenly being. Why? Because we've got to have it. I was looking up the scripture. I've seen it. I've taught on it. I can't find it. I'll go find it later. But it says, I was reading, I thought it was in Roman at one time, it says that even though if you cannot sin, because the seed of righteousness is in you. It's not you sinning. It's the same thing. That lady that we played the video on, the 80-year-old lady, said one thing when God said, you're here, your body's down there. You're here. You're here. See, her spirit was there. And that's the difference, because sometimes we keep thinking, well, we're still thinking from the Old Testament. We're still thinking earthly beings, sinning. I know that E.W. Keehan, that one, actually said one thing. There's one thing you never say if you sin. You don't tell God I sin. Because then the Bible says you can't sin. We got to get the revelation of being a heavenly being, not an earthly being. The earthly being sins. It's our sin nature that causes us to sin. He says you need to say, Lord, forgive me, for I've allowed that earthly desire to consume me, and there was sin brought in. I didn't sin. It caused me to sin. And when you start to talk about it causing you to sin, then you can take it before the Lord, and he forgives you of that sin. But the problem is we're not walking as the earthly being. We're not walking in the spirit. We're walking more from the physical. We're seeing from the spiritual. We're thinking from the spiritual. We're walking, not everybody, but the fact is the average Christian is walking that way because of the sin. That's why when I was, saying that when I heard about that Jesus died on the cross and it's finished, and they said, yeah, your sin's been forgiven, I'm thinking, I came up with, and they came up with, you're a sinner saved by grace. That is not true. That is not true. There's one time I went before heaven, up into heaven, the third heaven, and I've talked about that before, and I'll do some more teaching on it. It's about when you're the priest. We're kings and priests. And the priesthood is when you have a relationship to go in before the Father and get revelation. You go before him to put your petition, to pray, to have a relationship with him. And the same thing Jesus did in the morning. He went into the presence of God. He was there, unified with God, praying and seeking. And then when he came out, he never prayed again. He only commanded, and everything came under his authority. If he's our example, what are we supposed to be doing? The same exact thing. I didn't see anywhere where Jesus says, well, let's get a whole big prayer meeting together. Not saying you can't have prayer meetings. I'm not coming against prayer meetings. I'm just saying, if we're thinking about what God, what Jesus did, what he wants us to have, you know, we can get people who are very heavenly, you know, heavenly beings, walking in the spirit, not in the flesh, being with God and coming together in unity, we can put more power out. But Jesus never called for big meetings. He never called for a prayer meeting. He never called for a healing session. We're going to have a healing. Go out, send the disciples out and tell everybody, come here at this time, at a certain time. We're going to have some music and we're going to have a healing session. Praise the Lord. It's done. It's over. Never did. He just walked along, and as soon as something come up, he took care of it. He was a heavenly being on earth. He went around teaching the kingdom of God. He says, the kingdom of God, the gospel, yeah, I got to go preach the gospel. He says, that's what I'm called to do, is come here and preach the gospel. The good news, which is the kingdom of God. Because if, you know, if I'm here, then the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, as soon as we become heavenly beings, because we weren't heavenly beings until Jesus died on the cross, broke that sin, broke the curse, then we become heavenly beings. But we haven't been trained how to be a heavenly being. I still wish I could find that book. Boy, I messed up so bad. It's given to a book one time. It says there was a guy that grew up as a king because he was, his father was a king. Grew up in the kingdom. And he was trained how to be a king. He says when he got saved, he started to see what he learned as learning how to be a king compared to how Christians are learning what they're learning. He says they have no clue. They're not being trained correctly to be the king that God wants them to be. He had experience. And I said, wow. And I just wasn't in tune with it at the time. I didn't get the name. And I can't even find the book. I've talked to people all the time. I can't find anybody about it. But there's a difference that you should be trained up as a king, and most people are not. But that's what it all comes down to. And I just want you to know, that is main part of this, what the Lord's been saying, what he wants to do. He wants you to become a heavenly being, plain and simple. He took when righteous people, and this is Ephesians 16:26. It says, when righteous people turn from their righteous behaviors and start doing sinful things, they will die for it. Yes, they will die because of their sinful deeds. Ezekiel 18:26 and 27 says, if wicked people turn from their wicked ways, their wickedness, obey the law and do what is just and right, they will save their lives. There is a process back down there that was saying that there's a proverb. It says that the sins of the father would come upon the, would visit the son, and that the son would have to pay for the sins of the father. And they said, don't use that proverb anymore. And that was a confirmation. But God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That confirms. If back then, if they're following the law, and all of a sudden they decided to turn and go the other way, they're going to die for it. But if they're not following the law and realize it's good and I need to follow the law, then immediately they'll be saved. That's why we want people saved, because if they realize what they are and who they are and what's going on, then immediately what you're going to have is people are going to live, even though they had a rotten life and they've never been doing anything and they've done all these evil things. God's given that opportunity to come back and do that. I just wanted to show that because, you know, it's one of those things that I like those scriptures right there, because there's so many times people, I mean, I've run across people, one guy was, he was a SEAL, and he killed people. And I was talking to him about Jesus, and he says, no, can't go that way. I says, why? He says, I killed too many people. I says, yeah, but you were a SEAL. You were called to require to kill him. He says, but I liked it. I said, oh, my goodness. But God can forgive you. And you don't have to. I didn't see him kill anybody when he was around me. If he really liked it, he'd been killing, kept killing, but he kept, didn't keep killing. And I told him, I says, well, there was a guy that, there was a book, it's called, I forget the name right now, it's Black Angel or whatever it was, but he was a hitman for a mafia. And he enjoyed his job. And one day God got a hold of him. And he totally turned his life around. He became a Christian, got people saved. Tremendous thing. We had Mike Warnke, was a high priestess. He was over in Des Moines. Boy, they had cops all over the place because, you know, the Satanists wanted to kill him. But he said he talked about all the evil things that they did. Evil things, rotten things. But because somebody was praying for him, God intervened and saved him, brought him out. And through that whole process, he was around telling people all about what was going on and why it was going on and what was happening. The first time I really got introduced to the occult. But God can save the high priest of an occult with all the evil things he did. He can save anybody. He can make anybody go from an earthly being to a heavenly being. Heavenly being is when you're walking in the Spirit, when you know who you are in Christ. That's the name of the teaching today. Who are you in Christ? Do you really have the fullness, understanding, the maturity of our faith together in unity of the Holy Spirit? I've been hitting it pretty hard. Ephesians 4, very first three verses, Paul says, I pray that you are, what was it? Walk worthy of your calling. Thank you. Just lost that a second. Walk worthy of your calling. Because if you can't walk worthy of your calling, you don't know who you are in Christ. You got too many hurts and pains. You got too many things hindering you. You got too many strongholds that the devil pulls and cause you to go crazy. Secondly, it says, yeah, drop that. The next one there, on 4:2, he got always be humble and patient, be always humble, gentle, and patient with each other's faults, making allowance, making allowance for either their faults because of your love. If you do not have the love of Jesus, you cannot live with people. You can't work with people. You can't put up with people because there's a lot of faults out there. There's a lot of things going on. A lot of stupidness that's happening. A lot of resistance to the truth. And by doing that, you have to have the love of God to overlook that. And if you don't, then you're not going to get that done. So you really have to have the love of God. How do you do that? Go to back to the love chapter and start going through it and see. The biggest thing you do is take the love chapter and you start saying all those. Am I patient and kind to myself? See how you are loving yourself. If you can't love yourself, you can't love others. It's amazing if you start doing that. I haven't talked about that for quite a while. But then the very last one I'm going to go to is 2 Chronicles 5:17. Is that it? You got it. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. The average Christian, including myself, did not understand that for many years. Many people haven't even got to that point. I'm not the same. I'm different. I have a brand new person. I am new. I always had that problem. I said, a new creation, a new creature. I wouldn't say the actual understanding what the word says. That he says that you are a new creation. He's changed you from the sin nature to a righteous nature, to a holy nature, to a heavenly being. From an earthly being. An earthly being is a sin-natured being. A heavenly being is one who understands the full love of God. one who walks in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. When you start to see that, you start to see Thurman's, you start to see John G. Lake's, you start to see Wigglesworth, you start to see those people. They've dedicated their lives so strongly that they're going to touch and affect through the Holy Spirit. Very few people get to those positions because they don't put that much effort into it. And they're overlooking this, they're seeking that, they're doing this, instead of sitting and really finding out what God has and what they want. Thurman said one time, I got books, stacks of books. He says, I won't look at any of them. He says, I'd go right to the Bible and ask the Holy Ghost. Books don't mean anything. Yes, they do, because some people learn that way. He didn't. But that's what he wanted. And he was fine because he did it that way. I have one more thing. And that's a little short video, about 4 or 5 minutes. I want you to hear this because this is very powerful. And if you get the revelation of this, because see, God changed the nature of Adam by one thing. When the Holy Spirit left Adam, he became an earth being, a sin nature. Prior to that, he was God's nature. He had God's righteousness. He thought, lived, and breathed, and ate righteousness. Afterwards, he had sin, sickness, disease, and the, you know, everything else that was going on. Now, this is one thing that I ran across, and I really feel it's powerful. I could speak on it, but I'd rather have E.W. Kenyon. I'll get that one. Yeah, right. So you just play that real quick.
Your life. He is not threatened by your fasting. He does not tremble at your worship. He is not even shaken by your authority in Christ. He fears one thing more than anything else, a believer who knows he is righteous. Because righteousness is the foundation on which everything else stands.
Can you turn up just a little?
Prayer without righteousness feels hesitant. Authority without righteousness feels unworthy. Worship without righteousness feels distant. But when a believer becomes conscious of his righteousness in Christ, every strategy of hell collapses. Righteousness gives man the ability to stand in God's presence without the sense of guilt or inferiority. That one reality shatters the entire kingdom of darkness. Why? Because guilt and inferiority are the very weapons Satan uses to keep the believer weak. If he can keep you feeling condemned, he can keep you quiet. If he can keep you feeling unworthy, he can keep you powerless. If he can keep you feeling disqualified, he can keep you from exercising the authority heaven entrusted to you. The enemy does not destroy believers through raw power. He destroys them through accusation. Revelation 12:10 calls him the accuser of our brethren. His entire kingdom is built on one core tactic, making you forget who you are. Because the moment you know your righteousness, you rise above every lie he has ever spoken. You begin to pray with confidence. You speak with authority. You stand with boldness. You resist with certainty. And everything he whispers loses its power. This is why righteousness is not merely a doctrine. It is the believer's lifeline. It is the spiritual backbone of your identity. It is the legal position from which you operate in the kingdom. Without righteousness, everything feels unstable. With righteousness, everything becomes unstoppable. It is not something you grow into. It is not something you earn over time. It is not something God gives you in pieces. Righteousness is a gift bestowed instantly the moment you believe in Jesus Christ. Romans 3:22 declares, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe." Notice it does not say your righteousness. It says the righteousness of God. You are not standing before the Father with cleaned up humanity. You are standing clothed in divine righteousness. The very righteousness of Christ himself has been given to you, credited to you, and placed upon you. That is why Romans 5:17 calls it the gift of righteousness. And here is the heart of the matter. Satan fears what you have been given far more than he fears what you can do. Because if he can make you forget what you have, he can control what you do. That is why the first attack he launches against any believer is always aimed at their sense of worthiness. He whispers, God is disappointed in you. He tries to remind you of what you used to be. He resurrects failures God already forgave. He brings back moments God already buried. Because if he can get you to feel condemned, he knows you will pray timidly, speak cautiously, and live defensively. Condemnation is hell's most subtle weapon. Why? Because it disguises itself as humility. It sounds like, I am nothing. I don't deserve anything. I'll just accept whatever God gives. But that is not humility. That is deception. True humility accepts what grace has provided. True humility believes what God says. True humility receives righteousness as a gift with gratitude, not reluctance. The sin problem was settled, but the guilt problem is not.
Amen.
The church has believed in forgiveness, but not...
You can go back and look at that. It says that's why Satan... What is that one? Satan hates righteousness. Because what happens is, when you become that heavenly being and you're walking in righteousness and you have the relationship with God, nothing can change. You'll defeat everything. You will have the victory that I prayed about many years ago. I said, Lord, show me. Sorry it took so long to get me to the place to really start to see the full victory that he has for us. You don't have to. You know, go on down the road and keep doing what you're doing, enjoying yourself. But the fact is, God wants to change and give you exactly what he designed from the very beginning in Ephesians 1:3. It says, he gave you blessings in heavenly places, heavenly blessings. And then he also says that he knew you before you were born. He wanted you holy, without fault, through his son, Jesus Christ. But the fact is, are we walking holy and without fault? Are we trusting God? Are we letting these fine problems that we've had for so long affect us? Because I know one thing, and I'm going to say it. I kind of got a little huffy, got kind of bold when I was on a Wednesday. And one of the biggest things that has happened in the body of Christ, and the easiest way I can say it is this. There was a man at Teen Challenge. He had a big bump on his nose. It stuck out that big. Probably blocked half his sight off. And that man, he had it for a long time, and when I went out there one time, you know, to see him, it was gone. And I didn't want to make any thing about it, because I never did about it before. I had seen it, but I didn't say anything. And he got talking to me, and he says, you know that bump? I says, yeah. I see it's gone. He says, yeah. He says, I got tired of Christians wanting to heal me. I got tired of people wanting to heal me. So I just went and had the doctor take it off. Now I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to hear about it anymore. I said, wow, it's so true. All we do is hear, you got to be healed. I want you healed. I want you healed. I want you healed. You better be healed. You need to be healed. God wants to heal you. Blah, 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 blah. And that's why God was saying the time I was up in heavenly, in the heavens, and he was this far in front of my face, he says, I'm tired of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, because they're not perfecting my saints. They're not bringing us into heavenly beings. They're leaving us in earthly beings trying to do heavenly things. You can't do it. You cannot do it. It won't work well. You might get a little help there. You might get a little victory here, but you're not going to have the victory. You got to be in a heavenly position. This comes right from God. This is what the Lord would be saying to you if he was standing right here. Because I wasn't going to go this way. The fact is, they've been taking and jumping from, and if you go to, it's the only one that I know of, King James, it says, it's for the perfecting of the saints. What is perfecting? Because I didn't know myself after he said that. I had to come back and study to see what he meant. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What did he say? People don't get righteousness. Now, walking in righteousness, the devil's got a heyday. He can stop you from being victorious. We're more concerned about people being healed, the work of the ministry, and getting in the presence of God and being the full ministry so we can do the ministry the way he wants us. We want this, we want that, we know this, we know that, we know this scripture, we know that scripture. You can stand on scriptures all you want. But if the person that you're talking to doesn't want it, he's not going to get it. He'll get what he wants. God will give it to him. If he wants to die, he'll let him die. If he wants to go to hell, he'll go to hell. If he wants to go to heaven, he'll go to heaven. If he doesn't want to listen to anybody, he won't say fine. He just let him go. Because he loves you enough to overlook your fault. And if your fault keeps you from doing what you need to do, then that's your problem. That's where you need to be dealt with. That's why you need a shepherd. A shepherd to teach you and walk you through. Well, I know all this stuff. I've been in church for years. Well, probably you never did got the actual religious, you know, got the spiritual discernment that God gave a shepherd to put you through if you're watching and knowing. That's why he said he's tired of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, because they're not doing what they're supposed to do. First thing is kingdom of God, authority. That's when we went and talked about when we had kings and priests. He made us a king and a priest. A king is the authority and power that we have on this earth. The priestly is the one that we get so determined to go and sit before the Lord and get the revelation knowledge. I didn't know I was doing it. That's what I've been doing. It says you can go boldly before the throne. Well, I don't want to do that because I might not be, you know, I used to back into the throne room because I didn't feel good enough about myself. I wasn't worthy. God changed that. You know, one time I went in there, and I was standing before the Lord, and I went down on my face, and prone on the face on the floor, and all of a sudden God said, "Get up!" I said, "Whoa! Religion says you're supposed to be prone before the Lord. He says, you're my son. I don't want you in that. That's a slave position." Our concepts are misscrewed up because we don't have the teaching we need. We don't understand the truth about who we are in Christ. Until we get that, we'll be miserable. Yes, we have many healings, even as Brian's been going around and talking to people, and he's standing there, and the Holy Spirit hits, and he goes, and he's getting several healings from people and helping them out. And that's a blessing. I'm not saying don't try to heal anybody, but get in the presence of God and find out what he wants before you go after it. Find out what the problem is. God will tell you. That's why I sat there one day and I said, "Father, I want to get people healed." I says, "I can see by the gifts of the Spirit what you've given us, gifts, abilities to do things." He says, I said, "I see the gift of knowledge is what I need." Because as I start to pray, the Lord gives me what I need to say. And then I have wisdom that tells me how to say it. And then I know it's a discerning of spirits or it's healing. The only thing I messed up, I never said anything about miracles. So I didn't have very many miracles, but I had a lot of healings, had a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge, and a lot of things happening. Still do today. Amazing what's happening. But the fact is, you have to be serious about being who you are. You have to take time in the presence of the Lord. You have to desire it. You have to want it. You have to be able to submit yourself. A lot of people don't want to submit themselves. They want to do their own stupid thing. Well, go ahead, do your own stupid thing. One of these days, you'll be submitted under what God wants you, what's going to happen. He gave you life, he gave you death. You choose life, you go to heaven. You choose death, good. You can do all you want, you go on hell to, down to hell. That's the way it is. Because you're stubborn, you don't want to change. I don't care. That's what the Lord's coming out. When he told me about those apostles, I'm thinking, he's serious. He's shaking things up. And I said that one Wednesday. I says, "I'm just tired of people talking about healing, 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 healing. I know I want to be healed. I know I'm praying. You don't know how much I seek the Father on my healing. It's coming. He's told me it's coming. Why isn't it right now? I know why it's not right now. I just don't want to say any more about it. I'm not wanting to be this way. God doesn't want me to be this way. But there's a certain way he works with me. And that's just the way it is. God's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. I just don't want people to die prior to. I don't want people to jump ahead. I don't want things to go on. That's why we're setting this place up the way he wants it. That's why this is what he wants, and that's what we're going to do. And those who want to come in and be in and anointed and underneath what God wants to do, he's going to change your life, and you're going to see great and magnificent. You'll see people healed, running out of this place, running around, wheelchairs gone. It's coming. It just isn't here yet. Praise the Lord. Sorry, I wasn't planning on going that way. But the Lord wanted to have it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. I thank you for this day. It has been a hard day because the Lord or the devil did not want me to put this out. It just seemed like it was tough, 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 but I kept pressed through. Father, I don't want to be angry or upset, and I don't want to think that I'm causing anybody any problem. But you care so much about your people, you will tell them the truth. You will tell them the truth. And the truth hurts. I don't care. The truth hurts. You might think you're doing the best you ever did, but you're not. In most cases, you got problems, and you're letting those problems hurt you. All you have to do is release it to God and say, God, put your love in me. Put your peace in me. Give me your wisdom so that I can do what you've called me to do. And when you put yourself aside and you get out of being an earthly being and move into the presence of God, not by sight, but by faith, walking in the presence of God, look out what's going to happen. World, you're changing because you can't stay around people who are heavenly beings. Heavenly beings will affect and change everything that you're around. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We ask that you just bless each and every one and keep each one of us safe until we meet again. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.